Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and verses 13 through 17. This is the reading of God's word. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant us an ear to hear. For if you do not work in us, we are not able to even understand and believe your word. Bless us, God, that we may understand and believe. Oh, Father, work in our hearts that we may have confidence in your word. Oh, Father, as you show us through your word what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen, let us clearly understand your will towards your church, toward us, so that we may obey your will with gladness. Father, we pray that you will receive all the glory, even as we preach and hear your word. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll finish chapter 12 today. As we have seen in this chapter, Satan tried to devour Jesus Christ, our Lord, but he failed. And now he persecutes the woman, the church, and he makes war with the church of Jesus Christ to destroy it. Verse 6a, then the woman fled into the wilderness. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Verse 17, so the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. All throughout the church age then, the church of Jesus Christ is described as God's people who are persecuted in this world. The woman, we saw that woman points to the church. The woman fled into the wilderness. And she's there for how long? Verse 6 says, 1,260 days. Now we have already seen this. 1,260 days is same thing as 3.5 years. And that is same thing as 42 months, and that is same thing as a time and times and a half time. It all refers to the same period of time, which is the church age, between time between Jesus Christ, His first coming, and His second coming. See, you need to understand everything according to the Word. You might have your own idea how church should be in this world, how the church should function, and what kind of role that church might have in this world. You might have your own idea, but that's what it is, your own idea. The truth is what the Bible says. And many times people will not like what they see in the Bible. But that doesn't make it wrong. The Word, whether people like it or not, is the truth. And you must understand everything in terms of what the Bible says. And here, and as we saw this again and again and again, throughout the whole church age, the church is described as God's people who are suffering, who are persecuted. And you might say, I don't see any persecutions today. Well, start living as a true Christian, and I will guarantee you, you will be persecuted. You act like you belong to this world. You're one of their own. Of course there will be no persecution. You do whatever the people of this world, they do. It's hard to tell that you don't belong there. Of course there will be no persecution. But if you live according to God's will, God guarantees it. Anybody who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted, it says. And here we see the same picture, that this woman flees to wilderness, and she's there for whole church age. Of course, woman is the church. And notice that our Christian life here on earth is described as a life in the wilderness. And this is very important. That you need to understand that your life as a Christian is a life in the wilderness. Our life, which is life in the wilderness. And this reality was witnessed even through the Old Testament people of God. Though what we see in the Old Testament is typological, even in the Old Testament, people of God, they lived the life in the wilderness. I could give you so many examples, but two examples that you already know. Abraham and the Israelites that Moses led through the wilderness. Talking about Abraham and all the people of the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13b says, they were strangers and exiles on the earth. God's people in the Old Testament, they lived as, Bible says, strangers and exiles on the earth. They understood that they're just passing through, that their home is not here, but they're actually traveling to their home, eternal home, heaven, and there's no resting place in this world. That's why you see Abraham, who was so rich, even when he entered the promised land, he lived as travelers. He pitched a tent to live. Live like the strangers in the land. You know, he had all the money to build the mansion in the promised land, but he understood what kind of life that he is called to live. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, the recipients of the letter, all Christians, were addressed as those who reside as aliens and scattered throughout. Peter writes to Christians, to a church, and he addresses them as those who reside as aliens scattered throughout. The Old Testament's God's people, though typological, live the life that witnessed this reality. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15a, He, God, led you, Israelites, through the great and terrible wilderness with His fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. Let's be very clear about this. Life in the wilderness is not an easy life. It's dry land. Many dangers. Serpents, scorpions. And brothers and sisters, that is our present spiritual reality. The Church of Jesus Christ, even today, live a life in the wilderness. This is what the Bible teaches us, that she fled into the wilderness and she's there throughout the whole church age. Whether you accept this or not, whether you like this or not, really doesn't matter. God is not begging you to accept it. God tells us the truth, and Christians believe. This is the life. Even if you have so big a, you know, wealthy house or big house in this world, even as you live in there, you need to understand if you're a Christian, you're still living a life in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14a, For here we do not have a lasting city. Here on earth we have no place of lasting rest. We're just passing through. Hebrews 14b, But we are seeking the city which is to come. So even as we live as an aliens, as a travelers, and we understand that here we do not have lasting city, but we look forward. We seek the city that is to come. And the city which has already come spiritually, but visibly, no, not yet. So, of course, our life here on earth will be uncomfortable. Life in the wilderness is uncomfortable. And our purpose is not to be comfortable in this world. Because if you are comfortable in this world, then you will forget that we're traveling towards another world. And if you forget that, then you have no identity as a Christian whatsoever. How can we forget? that we have our home to go to. How can anybody forget if they're away from home that they need to go back to home? And this is the life that Christians live. We have home to go back to. We must go on, travel through. But just like those Israelites who wanted to go back to Egypt, seriously, so many so-called Christians, they want to go back to the world. They like the world. They want to stay here as long as possible. They don't want to go home. They don't want to go home. Now that is not what we see in the Bible. See, Bible describes, Bible paints, Bible portrays true Christians, and nowhere in the Bible true Christians don't want to go home to see his or her Lord Jesus Christ. This wilderness life for the church, how long does it last? Verse 6b, for 1,260 days. And I already told you about this. It refers to the entire church age, from the first coming to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, this is very important that you need to understand, that the wilderness life for the church is not the only reality for the church right now. Yes, we live here on earth as aliens and strangers, yes. But see, we have another reality that is true of us, which is heavenly reality, but it is not visible yet. But the Bible clearly shows us. You go to chapter 14. See, we're looking at chapter 12 to chapter 14 as a one unit, right? And if you go to chapter 14 and read from verse 1, this is what we read. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So even as we pass through this wilderness, we must remember that we have another reality that is true of us. The eternal one. The heavenly one. So we talk about this already and not yet. Everything about Christianity right now is already in Christ and not yet. Yes, spiritually we're already resurrected, but visibly my body is not yet resurrected. Bible says that you are seated at the right hand of God with Christ. You actually live in heaven, but physically, visibly, not yet, because you still live here on earth. Already and not yet. You cannot ignore any of these two, because both are true for us right now. But the eternal reality, that's more lasting. That's more important because that is for eternal. But visible reality in this world is only for at maximum about 100 years. So yes, the church lives a life of suffering and persecutions, but at the same time, we live life of heaven. Yeah, this is why for non-Christians, what we're talking about is just nonsense. This is not something they would want. Because this world is all about right now, here, right now. See, that's all this world is all about. They don't care about heaven. They don't even believe heaven. But you might say, well, why this way? Why did God design it this way? Why didn't God plan it so that church here on earth will be strong and mighty? Why not that church would dominate this world? Why didn't he plan it like that? But that he planned that church will be persecuted and suffer in this world. Why is it wilderness life here? Well, I don't know why. But this is how God designed it. That is why Christianity is all about your will, Father, not mine. Yes, if it is up to me, I would have it differently. But it is not my will, but yours, Father. This is what our Lord has shown us. The Christian life is gladly accepting God's will, even if I have to die on the cross. If it pleases the Father, then it pleases me. This is why people who belong to the world will never follow Jesus. No matter what you say to them, no matter what, they will never follow Jesus because that is not something they would want to do. What do you mean? Even to die, I need to follow God. That is why Christians are weird people to this world. We're strangers. We're aliens. We do not belong here. We do not fit here. And the world will see us and, man, who are they? Where did they come from? Because it just, I don't get it. Yes, it's all true. We do not belong here. We don't fit. And we try. We don't even try to fit. Why? Because trying to fit is going back to a dog going back to its own vomit, Bible says. Why would we do that? Why would we beg this world when we have God and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance? We don't know why He designed it like that, but we know one thing for sure. The church's life of suffering and being persecuted in this world is the very life that Jesus Christ lived when He was here on earth. And our hope and our desire and our purpose is to be like Him, to imitate Him, to participate in His life. Yes, it is our honor and glory to live like Him. Yes, we don't know why, but we know what the purpose is. And that purpose, we love it. Yes, even as how we live here, we want to be like Christ. To imitate Him. No? Isn't that our desire? It is our honor to be participate in His life of suffering. So Paul begging God to let him know what is the sharing of Christ's suffering is. It is so honor to him to imitate Jesus Christ in the life of suffering and death. Paul prays that God will show him what is sharing the sufferings of Christ is all about. See, Christians, we don't make any sense to this world. We're stupid. Yes, we are. But we'll see when Jesus returns who is really stupid. We will see very clearly who is truly fool. Thus we say, like Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Our focus is not what we see, this world, but our focus is what we don't see, heaven. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yes, we live the life of sufferings and persecutions in this world. Yes, we live the life in the wilderness. But we are at the same time the citizens of heaven. Spiritually, we breathe the air of heaven even as we live our lives here on earth in the wilderness. Spiritually, we live the life in the fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, even as we live the life in the wilderness, being persecuted and suffered, we are at the same time full of glory and joy. See, there's contradiction to the people of this world. Persecution, suffering equals to glory and joy. It just doesn't make any sense. It will never make any sense to the non-Christians. See, that's why so many churches, I really believe that is why so many churches, they change the message. They change the message so that even non-Christian would accept it. Oh, God will make you wealthy, healthy. God will somehow get you into Harvard. Ooh, even non-Christian would accept that. But how can persecution equal to joy? What are you guys talking about? How can suffering is equal to glory? Huh? But it says, she fled to wilderness. It is the wilderness life that we live. But, this is what you need to understand. But, even in the wilderness, God is with us. God is with us. Verse 6a. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she will be nourished. Verse 14. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and a times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. But look, yes, we fled to a wilderness, but wings are given to the church so that we could fly to wilderness. And we could stay at a place where God prepared. And there in the wilderness, we will be nourished. God is with the church in the wilderness. And he protects her. Exodus 19:4. This is Exodus, so you understand the background. Exodus 19:4 says, "You yourselves have seen, Israelites have seen what I, God, did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God describes leading Israelites out of Egypt to come to the Mount Sinai. He says, "You saw how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." The God was with them. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. "He found him in a desert land." God found his people in the desert land and in the howling waste of a wilderness. "He encircled him, he cared for him, he guarded him as the pupil of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. He spread his wings and caught them, and he carried them on his pinions, and Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field, and he made him suck honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milks of the flock." You get the point. Wilderness life in the Old Testament, even though it was wilderness life, yes, it was not an easy life, but God was always with them. Like an eagle. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. God spread his wings and caught his people and carried them. And this is exactly what is happening to us even today. Do you see God carrying us through? Every single day, it's by his grace we live. It is by his grace that we keep our faith and continue to trust him. And through the word, we see what he is doing to us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagle. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Yes, two wings are given to the church. We fly to the place where God has prepared for us, the church. And he says, from the presence of serpent. In chapter 20, we saw this already. During the church age, Satan is bound. Satan cannot really hurt the church. In that sense, we are away from the presence of the evil one. God protects his people. And the church is nourished by God. In the Old Testament, the people of God was fed manna, the bread from heaven, and given the water from the rock. Yes, they were all typological, but you and I, we eat and drink the true manna and true drink. We are nourished by God with the true manna, Jesus Christ, and the true water from the true rock, Holy Spirit, that Jesus sends. Do you see that you're nourished even today? The Holy Spirit is given to us. The Word is given to us. Jesus is given to us. Even right now we're being fed with the heavenly manna, Jesus' Word. Yes, it is life in the wilderness, but it's still a place that God provided for us. And God is with us and He nourishes us. Church will go on. Oh, but not the way that is so desirable to the world. But understand your spiritual reality. I want you to see your spiritual reality even as we live in the wilderness. This is why Christians are required of faith. Because if you live by sight, Christianity has nothing that is good to your eyes. But if you live by faith, everything changes. This world lives by sight, but not us. And verses 15 and 16, and the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth. Yes, the attack of Satan is indeed frightening. Being swept away with the flood. What is the picture? Picture is drowning. Yes, it is indeed painful. Here, we see this in two ways. This, from Satan's mouth, a river of water just pouring out to drown us. First, it shows all kinds of hardships that Christians live. Hardships come our way like a river of water. And you know, well, maybe some of you are too little to really know what these hardships are all about. But I guarantee you, you will face it. Second Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel chapter 22, verse 5. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. This is out of mouth of God's servant. And even Jesus, when you look at his life, the hardships, it came at him like a river. Psalm 32 verse 6, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters. There, the flood of great waters is also the sufferings that he's experiencing, they will not reach him. So, yes, Satan will cause these hardships in your life. And whenever those sufferings and hardships come, people become weak and they doubt God. And you know what I'm talking about. The second way we look at this is that the water coming out of Satan's mouth, and we have already seen a similar thing before. We saw a sharp two-edged sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. So in the book of Revelation, whatever that comes out of mouth is actually the words. We see sword coming out of Jesus' mouth, but we see then Jesus speaking. So here we see it that way. Satan is speaking. Seen in this light, then, the river of water coming out of Satan's mouth is his lies. He is the father of lies. He is the one who deceives, we have already seen in this chapter. With his lies, then, Satan drowns people of this world. They actually drown. They're dead. They follow Satan. They listen to Satan's lie. And he pours out that lies to God's people, but he fails. He does not succeed. Because true Christians will not be deceived. True Christians will not believe the lies of Satan. The woman, the true church, does not drown. And the earth helps. This is a picture of the reverse of the curse of God upon the earth in Genesis 3. Now the woman not dying does not show that the church will be free of suffering and persecution. I don't want you to see it like that. No, the church will be faithful even in the midst of suffering and persecutions. This woman is faithful to her Lord until death. The church will continue to have faith in her Lord Jesus Christ. The church will not be deceived. The church will not believe the lies of Satan. Brothers and sisters, all of the safe zones that people build on their own will fall. You know, people trying to build a safe zone around them, like with money, with power, with popularity, but it will all fall. Isaiah 28. Let's go there. Isaiah 28. Verse 15. Isaiah 28, verse 15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol. Sheol is an Old Testament way of saying hell. We have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. So these worldly people, they make covenant with Satan, and it's all about deception, it's all about lie, that the money can save them, or the power in this world can save them, and the popularity will save them. But it's all lie. Verse 16, therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying a Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level, and hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow secret places. Your covenant with death will be cancelled, and your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become its trampling place. It's a very clear picture that God draws for you. Only safe place is this cornerstone, this foundation, which points to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will drown. You will drown. Don't think you will not. Without Christ, it's just death. And with Christ then, Isaiah 43, verse 3. Now this is complete opposite picture. This is your picture. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, yes, even when Satan pours out this river of water in your way, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. You understand now what that verse actually says to you. Rest in Christ. The church, you and me, we are the rest of woman's children. The woman gave birth to a male child, and we are distinguished from that male child. He is Jesus Christ, and we are the rest of her children. Thus, Jesus and we are brothers. Romans 8, verse 29b, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he, Jesus, will be the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus and you and me, we come from the same woman. We belong to the same woman. Thus we are brothers. Well, let me try to conclude then. Yes, we live the life in the wilderness. And there is a spiritual battle going on in the wilderness. But remember, we already have the victory in Jesus Christ. Thus, in Christ, wilderness march is also a victory march. See, this is contradiction again. You know, life in the wilderness, we are suffered, we are persecuted, but that is our victory march in Jesus Christ. The world will never understand our religion. It is the way of sufferings and death, but it is also the way of victory. Verse 11a in our chapter, and they overcame him. Christians overcame Satan because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Look at the passage. It shows us who we are. We are the rest of the woman's children. And verse 17b, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And with that, you win. With that, you live a triumphant life in the wilderness. You win through Jesus Christ. But who keep the commandments of God, who we are, who keep the commandments of God and who hold the testimony of Jesus. Now, keeping the commandments of God, we do that only in Jesus Christ, only through His perfect life for us. So, keeping the commandments of God is equal for us to have faith in Jesus Christ. How do we win? We keep the commandments, but we keep it in Christ, meaning that we have faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that's how you win. And the testimony of Jesus, that is what we have. Well, His blood, His cross, and His righteousness. So you believe in Jesus, you trust in Jesus, you have faith in Jesus, and we preach His life and His death. This is how we will win in the wilderness. No, not by your success in this world. Not by becoming a successful person in this world, because even non-Christian, they do that. Even non-Christian, actually, they do that better than you. I don't care how you bring the most successful Christian to me, and I will bring you a non-Christian who is more successful than me. This is not how we win. If we go by the worldly method, we will always lose. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. So only through the blood of Jesus, only with the testimony of Jesus. Yes, you and I live the life of wilderness, the life of suffering and death. Romans 8 verse 36, just as it is written, "For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Why? Because that's how Jesus was treated. But Romans 8 verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Look at the passage and see who we are. Verse 11b, "They did not love their life even when faced with death." This is who you are. That you are so devoted to Jesus Christ, that it is your honor and joy to follow Him, that we do not love our lives even when faced with death. Oh, brothers and sisters, doesn't that sound so foreign to us? That is why it's always time for repentance. See, when you see the description of true Christians in the Bible, it just doesn't sound like us. This is why you need to repent. It is not okay. We need to repent. Then it's okay. No, I'm not saying you have to live a perfect life. No, you can't. But see, you need to repent. Then it's okay. And continue to trust Jesus Christ. Continue to believe what really happening spiritually. And continue to live in faith. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why is it like this for the church here on earth? This is the life that our Lord has lived for us. We are called to participate in His life. We are called to imitate Him. It is our honor and glory to do so. Philippians chapter 1 verse 20. "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." This is our confession. Whether we live or whether we die, what we desire is that Jesus Christ will be exalted in my body, in my life. It's not okay. Until you repent of your sinful life and continue to trust Christ. Continue to trust what He says in the Bible. Because this is who you are. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, yes, Satan tempts you. He tempts you and says to you that it is more beneficial to follow the world. Yeah, you are tempted every single day, thinking that if you do well in school, that somehow that's really, really going to do something great for you. Or that somehow if you make a little bit more money and get a better job, then somehow that's going to save you. Yes, Satan describes it and portrays the world as something so desirable. And if you think you could have that, then everything will be okay. But don't be deceived. Do not listen to his lies. Unless you rest in Christ, nothing is okay. Yes, I really appreciate you guys studying very hard. But I hope that I will see you same intensity in studying God's Word. Yes, I really appreciate you working hard at your job because that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. But that you must work hard in knowing Christ and worshiping and serving Him. Studying Bible is not something that you do when you have spare time. You know, vacation comes, so we'll have Bible study. So Bible study is only when you have time, when you have vacation time. This is not right. This is not okay. Don't make me shout like this to you. You could make me shut up if you truly just do what is asked of you by God. And why would I say these things? I really believe Christ and Heaven OPC is not okay at this moment. And we need to repent. Don't witness to the world that God and His Word is worthless or something that is secondary. When you devote your life to worldly things or other than God's Word and Jesus Christ, you're showing to the world that to you, God and His Word is secondary. It's only when you have extra time. But show them that this is primary. Yes, I try to understand when you tell me you have like finals and when you have some whatever. And I try to understand, okay, you know, you guys don't have time for the Bible study. But understand what is important. What is more important. We're living in the wilderness. And there's spiritual battle goes on in this world. And we need to be alert. And only God's Word can make us do that. Enough said. But I had to get that out of my chest. Please, brothers and sisters, let's show to the world that Jesus is the most important. And His word is the only true heavenly manna that we have to eat. Otherwise, we die. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You tell us what is really going on. Yes, we live a life in the wilderness. But Father, we thank You that You provide two great wings so that we may fly to the place where You have provided. And we thank You that in that glorious place, You feed us. We are nourished. We eat upon Jesus Christ. We drink upon the Holy Spirit. Oh Father, let us clearly understand what is our lives all about. What are our lives all about? Let us understand Your will towards Your church so that we may gladly obey Your will. Bless us, bless Your people, bless Christ and Heaven OPC. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.